RadioInfluence.com.
Introducing the world's heavyweight champion, the Crusher!
Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 10-12-60 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
Welcome back to Crush Performance, or welcome if you're just tuning in. I am Jeff Crushell. This is Crush Performance. And today we turn to the world of baseball to continue our discussion on athlete development, progressive development, and high-performance sporting outcomes. Development is a process. It's a process you can optimize, but it's rarely a good idea to try to accelerate it. Cutting corners, skipping important windows of development, trying to rush to the end before you go through the process. It's a process, and understanding that process is critical. And we're joined now by somebody who understands that process, especially when it comes to developing and creating opportunity in the game of baseball. Rick Knapp, the pitching consultant and coordinator for Major League Baseball International, joins us. Rick, so glad we could finally organize this conversation. It's been a long time coming, but I'm glad you could join us today.
Yeah, me too, Jeff. Can't wait to have this conversation, buddy.
Well, there's a lot going on in baseball, and when I met you last year, I'm not going to lie to you, I was very, very excited at the approach you have in terms of developing pitchers, because, Rick, right now in the game, boy, oh, boy, we're up against it. When we look at the injury rates and what's happening at the professional level, that's one thing, but what we're seeing now in the developmental levels in terms of injuries, dropout rates, and just the overall frustration, I think, that we're seeing in the developmental ranks, something is awry, and I don't think it's an impossible to overcome here, but we definitely have to start moving in a different direction. Do you agree with that?
I think that how we educate our players and to create interest and to keep their mind on what it is that drew them to baseball, I think those are the things that are really missing. I think that sometimes when you try to tell a kid that he's got to go to school, he probably won't like school, but tell him that he's going to go and have some fun, well, that's a whole different story. And I think that if you can create an element of excitement in learning, I think that's really where that's where we got to capture our players again. That's my opinion.
Yeah, no, and I think that's a real valuable opinion. Rick, you've had a chance to work at almost every level of the game. You spent time with Detroit, the Royals, and the Dodgers as well. Rick, you've been hands-on and around some of the best pitchers in the world and, you know, in the history of the game. And there's a lot to be learned from those players and being around those guys. What are some of the things that you think would be really helpful when it comes to, you know, steering our young developing pitchers in the right direction?
Okay, well, I mean, Jeff, that's a whole, I mean, you went through a whole swath of things, you know. I certainly have a lot of experience, but I mean, look, for me, my fear is, okay, look, a kid's going to look at me and go, well, man, this guy's coached major leaguers. How's he going to help me at 13? You know, or, hey, look, I'm a coach of all. And, I've been in the big leagues. I've been at little league games. I've been to Australia and I've seen what goes on there in games. And hey, look, I just got back from Europe for the first time. And there has to be a common denominator, so I don't think that you can work off of absolutes. Again, I think that there are too many variables involved. I think that if you can make it interesting and fun and, you know, where the youth is going. Hey, look, if we can break this down to the nth degree on why guys get hurt and what is exactly right and what's not right. I mean, we can get so technical to the point where we're going to lose our audience. So once you've been past technical, you got to come back to basic. And you know what? If you can make it fun, simple, and basic, and using those, you know, principles, then you'll capture the 12-year-olds, and then you can move on to a little bit more of an intermediate. And I think in the successes that I've had as a coach is, you know, first off, you can't take yourself too serious. You always have to know that there's things to be learned, but also know that the stuff that we're trying to do, baseball wasn't invented by rocket scientists or anything. I mean, it was played by immigrants, and they got together and developed this particular game. And I think we need to make sure that we keep it a game. And I know you just, you know, we're really excited worldwide about the stuff that's happened with Gift, but I'm certain that this guy coming out of South Africa would be the first African player ever. I'm certain that he played the game for fun, first and foremost. And that's what we have to keep in mind. So if you can keep things interesting and fun, then we have a chance to progress players. And listen, it doesn't stop even when they get to be 20 or 23 or 28. Making the game fun is the reason why anybody plays the game. And if you go to a field nearby and you watch guys play softball or baseball for that matter at 40, they're playing it because it's fun. You know, you drive by the golf course, they play it because it's fun. And the further away that we get from fun, the harder it is to find, you know, the player.
Oh, Rick Knapp, words of wisdom right there. We're speaking with Rick Knapp, the pitching consultant and coordinator for Major League Baseball International. Rick, last week we had a fantastic show with John O'Sullivan from Changing the Game Project. You know, we were just investigating some of the numbers that have come out recently when it comes to, you know, participation in sport. And there's some alarming trends we're seeing in organized sport in general. 7 of 10 kids are dropping out by the age of 13. And outside of that, you know, there's some really, really interesting studies done. They surveyed tens of thousands of athletes to find out why they play and why they're dropping out. The interesting thing is the number one reason, and you've just mentioned it over and over, the number one reason kids play is for fun. Winning didn't even crack the top 10, for crying out loud. So you're so right. And, you know, when kids can go out and have fun playing a game they love, boy, do you ever have them. That's one of the big keys. Well said.
And you can't forget that even as you're teaching the game, making it fun, you and I never met each other until 6 months ago, but knowing the stuff that you're doing and how it coordinates with the stuff that I'm doing and how we're teaching kids, you know, how to feel what they're supposed to feel, but also have fun doing it. Well, man, that's a double whammy. You know, that's the euphoria principle, right? If I have a job that I have to work in, well, then that's no fun. But give me a job that I can have fun in, well, that's not a job at all. That's having fun.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's based on. That's what life should be based on, for God's sake. And hey, look, man, make it fun. Make it easy. Make it simple. There's some principles that you put in. There's some principles that I put in that, you know, I've had success doing over the years with the Twins and with the Dodgers recently that, you know, I'm looking forward to taking it worldwide and making sure that we grow this game in really a different dimension, which is really the challenge and also the fun.
It certainly is. Hey, Rick, you know, our job, we have a very unique role in the game of baseball, and it's global. And boy, am I ever honored to be part of this. Always have. As you mentioned, you've come on board 6 months ago. You've had a chance now to see the game globally, really, really up close and personal. Let me get your impressions of the international game and the talent pool is just waiting out there, I think, to really get involved in the game. Pretty exciting times, isn't it?
Oh, man. You know, I was really one of the reasons that I took the job, Jeff, was that I could see certain trends of players that came from Europe after they had already signed, when they'd walk into the clubhouse and look utterly shell-shocked at, you know, what was in front of them. Where they were the biggest fish in their small little pond, and now they come here and now they're just a little guppy in a giant pond. And I thought that I could impact that. I thought I could help them overcome that. And that was really the main focus. But as I go around and I see I am utterly shocked by the talent that is in Europe. So now I have to figure out, you know, what happened in translation. What happens, you know, what when somebody's leaving Europe and they go to the States for the first time after being signed, you know, what is their mindset? And it's very interesting, because the trends that I see in different parts of the world, I really understand it. You know, for instance, the Dutch players are they're really intelligent players, and they are body and size, but they have a really high opinion of themselves, you know, rightfully so, when they come, and it takes them a while to understand that they're not the greatest right now, that they need to be developed further. And the German player, you know, they're strictly by the numbers, you know, kind of you know, engineered, and how there is an element of artistic impression to the, you know, the pitching delivery, and to get them to understand that. So hopefully they'll be better prepared, you know, to be themselves when they sign. But you know, just coming from the Czech Republic, I saw some incredible athletes, but I thought one of the biggest challenges that we would face in like Germany and in the Netherlands is, you know, soccer is so huge. Baseball is down on the list, whereas in the Czech Republic, soccer isn't as big as it is there, and baseball has a chance to get better really quickly. And then with the with the MLB package now being available in Europe to these people that so want to watch major league games, they have that opportunity now where in the past they haven't. I think the game has a chance to grow and grow exponentially when people get exposed to it and see that, hey, man, these guys that are playing handball see what they can do with a baseball in their hand. They may find that, heck, this sport's easy compared to that. And we may draw some athletes from other disciplines that, heck, for me, those opportunities are exciting, you know, to see. And the last stop on the tour was the Czech Republic, and to see those, the body and the size, the intellect, the attention to detail. I can't help but think that the Czech Republic's going to make a huge step forward here soon.
Yeah,
because they're committed.
Right, and the work ethic there is great as well. We're talking with Rick Knapp, the pitching consultant coordinator for Major League Baseball International. Hey, Rick, let me ask you this. What do you think the influence has been on some of the major events that Major League Baseball has been backing, like the World Baseball Classic that went earlier this year? There was a lot of coverage globally, and now with baseball back in the Olympics, this is a very, very exciting time for baseball on an international front for certain.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And then MLB, I think, just announced recently that they're going to try to play a game, or they're more committed than ever to play a game in Europe. I think with the it coming into the Olympics, a lot of these federations are seeing some funding return. It's an exciting time to be, Jeff, where I'm at and where you're at, because there's going to be more, and the interest in baseball is only going to grow. Especially, hey, look, okay, the Netherlands and Curacao, you know, they went, you know, into the Final Four. Dominican has always been a powerhouse, and you know, Korea and Japan, these have always been, you know, places where baseball has thrived. And even Australia is ahead of the game. But I see Europe taking the next step as far as, you know, being competitive on a world stage. And I think, I mean, seeing some of the talent in Germany, I think that they could very easily be on par with the Australians here soon. And, you know, the Australians taking a step forward, you know, I think it's really interesting to be me and be where we are globally. And it's only going to get bigger and bigger. And look, it's not just limited to Europe, because we all saw, I mean, anybody that followed the game saw what an impact Colombia had in an impossible pool. They played games that were extremely close and were competitive into extra innings. And hey, look, being in Nicaragua like we've been, and man, it is really cool to see the growth of the game in areas where there really hasn't been growth or it's been stagnant. And it's exciting, you know, knowing, you know, Jeff, you've been to Brazil. I'm going recently or within the next few weeks, you know, seeing that unfold, watching that develop, man, this could be in the next 4 or 5 years. You're going to see an influx of talent worldwide into professional baseball at the major league level. Hell, there's already been a Lithuanian,
right?
An African. I mean, they're players coming from all over. We're doing cadet camps in Belarus and Lithuania and Eastern Europe where they have these giant, you know, phenomenal athletes that you know, to teach them how to throw and hit. Man, you're starting at a level where it's, you know, there's been zero instruction or very limited. Now you get a chance to go in there and impact.
Yeah.
And that's exciting.
It is exciting. And, you know, one of the things I think, Rick, that I've seen over the last little while, and you've had a chance now to be around, some of the infrastructure is coming together as well. You know, Major League Baseball has great insight in terms of the development and their support for the developmental game. But we're starting to see fantastic fields, training facilities, covered hitting cages, and most importantly, a real strong focus on coaching development. I think this is going to be, you know, two areas that are really, really going to push the game forward as we try to, you know, harness and tap into these young talent pools that are now popping up all over the globe.
No doubt, man. The place in Brno was incredible, the complex there, the Drozzi Academy. And then, you know, we stopped in Prague, and to see that Eagles Academy there in Prague was – it's a phenomenal setting, second to none. I mean, Regensburg, are you kidding me? That place is incredible. The facilities in Hoopsdorf, where we were for the Amsterdam cadet camp. I mean, these places are phenomenal. And hey, look, that's another draw. I mean, the players get a chance to play on these, you know, these immaculate fields. It's incredible. So you're right. The resources and identifying areas and pockets where, you know, MLB can help, not necessarily take over, but to assist,
right,
and to help teach. I know that's what I was really brought on board for, was to help put together programs to help the coaches that are in place, which in most cases are former, you know, players, and you know, heck, that's half the battle. You know, we're this task that we were trying to undertake in Mexico, with the way that their infrastructure set up, it seemed insurmountable. But the results that we're getting from Mexico and the input that we're getting from scouts that have visited it's incredible. I mean, it's to know that, hey, look, we're changing their culture in Mexico with our academy. Any place where you're growing the game, where kids have an opportunity to improve, what's better than that? There's nothing better than that.
No, and I agree. I was lucky enough to just be back in Mexico, Rick, for my second tour there, and to see the kids and the progress. I can't wait till you get there, and I can't wait to hear your thoughts on it. But I'm telling you what, they're there every day, chomping at the bit to get on that field. When those kids get between the lines, it is fantastic, and that's truly what it's all about. Hey, we're talking with Rick Knapp, the pitching consultant and coordinator for Major League Baseball International. Rick, I want to, just before we let you go here, I wanted to get into this conversation. We have a lot of parents, coaches, athletes playing. You know, we have a chance to really work with the coaches and look at the players and some of the issues they face, you know, in their unique environments from country to country. But there's some consistencies in the game. And, you know, recently we had a great conversation, I thought, with the parents and some coaches regarding throwing and throwing volume and the progression of throwing. And it was revolving around a young player who was at one of our academies who early in the season went to play for his club team on the weekend and wound up throwing, you know, 100-plus pitches. That was a very – the way our group handled it, I thought, was fantastic, because we turned that into a real coachable teaching moment. But I think that message right there is something everybody needs to hear. We're in such a rush Rick, to be these big league expert professional players. But it takes process. And one of the things that you said has really stuck with me was the progression of throwing and the fact that, you know, when we look at those major league players we've worked with, you know, we're really careful with them. We should certainly be really, really careful with our young players as well.
You know, Jeff, there's the problem in today's, is there a problem in today's game? You know, you want your kids to learn to be responsible, respectful, competitive. You want these, you know, hey, look, no excuses. You want all these things in your son or daughter. The coach pushes the buttons. You have to make sure that you are responsible for your son, because the coach is responsible to win. Now, depending upon the level, the process to win may be different. But anything that's competitive, you know, you have to. There's a fine line. So I can only tell you that there is a, you know, a progression to throw. And, you know, hey, look, Tommy John surgery comes about because of one pitch. No, it's the millions of pitches. It's the hundreds of thousands of pitches. It's not just one pitch.
Right.
And most injuries, you know, hey, look, in Canada, it's really a great breeding ground for baseball. And I say that because it's too cold to play baseball in the winter. And the players take the time off that's necessary. In fact, they probably play other sports that help their baseballing. In fact, you and I had this conversation kind of in a funny way with all this talk of the, you know, the heavy ball program. You know, the heavy ball program when you and I were kids was called a snowball fight.
Right,
you know?
Exactly, yeah.
Or throwing the football around. You know, that was the heavy ball program. But now everything seems to have to be structured, and everything has to be measured, and everything has to be this or that. When a lot of times, if you just use common sense, that should take care of most of it. You know what? When I was a kid, nobody counted pitches. But you could tell if a kid, man, if he threw too many pitches, you could tell. You could see. And for the most part, that's really the problem today, is there's not enough common sense being used, and there's not enough people actually watching. So in the end, how you know, the progression, well, you know, just asking you, you wouldn't try to run a marathon today, would you? I mean, Jeff, you're in pretty good shape, but I don't think that having not trained to run a marathon is realistic for me to think that you're going to be able to run 26 miles.
Well said.
No, you have to work your way up to that. And for me, throwing isn't that much different. And I also think that every throw doesn't have the same impact on your arm. So 100 pitches under, you know, I could throw 1,000 pitches in a day and my arm won't hurt. It really depends on how much effort I'm putting into it. If I had to throw 1,000 pitches with everything that I possibly had, well, then I'm probably going to be hurt.
Right.
So a lot of everything, you know, hey, look, it's written here where I should only throw 35 pitches as a 14-year-old. Well, I'm not sure that that's right. I think if I threw 35 pitches at, you know, 25% intensity, I probably could throw 35 more. So, you know, at the same time, if I throw 35 pitches at 100% intensity, I may be done at 30 or 25. It may not take me 35 to get to. So the number, whatever it is, is still an arbitrary number based on the intent of the throw. So, you know, for people that are looking for us to have these are guidelines, I think that follow the guidelines. The guidelines are fair, but also if your eyes tell you that it's too much, then don't throw so much. If your eyes tell you that it's not enough, then it's probably okay to throw a little more than that. It's really just about paying attention, Jeff. And I think that sometimes with programs today, everybody's set on what the paper says instead of, hey, what do you feel like on a particular day? And then let's work your program around that. And then, you know, if you know, after the initial warm-up stages, you know, you feel like you've accomplished something. You feel like you've progressed. a common sense approach. It really is, and it's just a matter of what we used to do. Pay attention.
Great stuff, Rick. Well, hey, listen, this is a great conversation. I look forward to continuing this as we move forward. Listen, I want to thank you for taking time, and so great to finally get you on the show talking some shop. Fantastic conversation today.
Anytime, Jeff. I love doing this stuff, man. And, you know, anytime I can help out a friend, you know, I'm all in. And it's great to hear from you. I look forward to spending some time with you in Brazil and maybe even in Nicaragua, huh?
Yeah, no question about it. This is just another great platform for us to, you know, kind of spread the good word, and we really appreciate it today, Rick.
You bet.
All right, there you go. Rick Knapp, the pitching consultant and coordinator for Major League Baseball International. Fantastic conversation. We have to thank Rick for his time and insights here. There is a lot to take out of this conversation, and it goes well, well beyond baseball. Remember, baseball is just the context here, but the teaching points, the learning, the wisdom can be applied to virtually every aspect of life. And certainly any sport you're involved in, or any endeavor for that matter. So great conversation, and I do believe it's one that you may want to share with your family and friends. So please do so. Send them to Crush Performance so they can get their ears on that fantastic conversation with Rick Knapp. Okay, well, coming up next week on Crush Performance, and I'm excited about this one, a true story of grit, perseverance, and determination as we talk with the first African-born Major League Baseball player, Gift Ngope. We're going to talk to Gift about his life in Africa, how he found the game of baseball, and his incredible journey from that small rural African community to stepping onto a Major League Baseball field for the very first time for the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's an incredible story. I'm looking forward to sharing it with you. It's next time on Crush Performance. We'll talk to you then.
This is a Fabulous Sports Big Quick Fix on Radio Influence.
Shall we talk about Tiger Woods? You know, the first time you think, okay, he's drunk, and then he blows a 0-0-0. I imagine I would do that too, right? But he's like prescription medication. I don't want to tell you anything, but we've all been in prescription medication, okay? But then it says today that he has two flat tires and part of the car is smashed up. You know, and people say, oh, I feel really sorry about it. I don't feel sorry. He was the one that was boinking that girl in Perkins parking lot. I will never forget that. In the middle of the day. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh, I feel sorry for him. He's a mess. And he's never going to come out and play golf again. Who cares? And, you know, what was he doing at 3 a.m? You know, we've all gone out at those times. Usually they say something at 3 a.m. doesn't turn out to be very good, which I think in my older self, I might believe that. But, you know, if I could get up in time to do something at 3, I would do it. But it just doesn't look good at all. It's not even that. And they're going to, you know, and of course, they've got PR people that'll say he's just this and that's what happened and blah, 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 blah. And I got it. But you know what? If it's really true, is it really true? I saw that today in the New York Post that he had two flat tires and part of the thing was smashed up. That doesn't sound very good at all.
The Fabulous Sports Big can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and RadioInfluence.com.